Today on this episode of the Cooligans, we talk about the Premier League. What a wild weekend.
That's right. Trossard is still staring at
you. Oh, he angry?
He angry. And we talk some Leagues Cup final, third place game. The Colorado Rapids are in the Champions Cup. It is absolutely wild.
Oh, and we also talk about NWSL. And hey, we got a new segment popping up. You might want to wait till the end of this episode. That and more right now. So, you know, you and I, we've traveled a lot. We get to see a lot of people that we know. Sometimes we get recognized, which is quite nice.
Mm-hmm.
You and I have traveled so much that sometimes we get upgraded on flights. It's quite nice.
You get upgraded on flights.
I do get. Well, I also focused on one airline where you were like, whatever, whoever picks me up first.
I'm just trying to get from point A to point B. Yeah, yeah. And
I'm like, how do I do that with the most luxury possible? So I got upgraded to Delta One on the flight to Europe that I recently went on, which is amazing. Lay flat seats, champagne.
It looked very fancy on your IG stories.
It was quite amazing. Okay, now there was two legs to this flight. That was the flight to Paris. I had to switch from Paris to another company to get to Porto. That I was sitting in the last seat in the plane. Okay, I'm as far back as you could possibly go. Just a real welcome back to society. You ain't who you thought you was last in this last flight. And sitting in the last seat on the plane, I kept making jokes about the shift back, you know, just back to reality. And every time my wife would say something, I'd be like, hold on a second. I think I just heard someone say, is that TV's Alexis Guerrero's? I just kept saying that, messing with her and joking around with her. And then the guy in front of me stands up and goes, hey, are you Alexis Guerrero?
I love it.
I got recognized in the back seat, all the way in the last seat of the plane. I'm like, damn, yo, you couldn't see me when I was up, dog.
Bro, they're just like, there's no way TV's Alexis Guerrero is going to be in the Delta One seat.
There's no way. That can't possibly be.
He doesn't make that kind of money.
Shouts to their Real Salt Lake fans. And I can't remember. Aiden, maybe, is your name? Ian? Okay. Whatever your name is, dog. Shouts to you.
I love how Alexis just connecting with the fans.
You know when my
he
people,
knows. He's like, know, yo, I appreciate
what's
you.
What's his name? And Chief.
Yeah, big dog. Yeah.
Hey, my guy. You remember my guy?
Love all those fans.
Oh, dude.
It's,
y'all
it's
the best.
Wild that we have so many fans that are named the exact same
name. Yeah. Sport. Yo, that was one of my favorites. But I got to be honest, dog, right before you met me, I was laying flat.
This
wouldn't even have been able to see me, dog.
I'm just saying, I'm struggling right now, but back then, I was literally a couple days ago before my canceled and delayed flights, I was killing it.
Bro, actually, I think I flew too close to the sun. If I would have never posted that first class seat, I would have never had issues getting back in this country. I honestly think the universe was like, yo, my man getting too big for his britches.
Yo, they put him on the no fly list because Alexis is too fly.
Too fly. Right. Put him on the too fly list, dog. Damn. All the flight attendants put on sunglasses when I walk in. Dang, too fly.
Welcome to the Cooligans, everybody. We out here being too fly. My name is Christian Polanco. That is too fly Alexis Guerrero.
TV's Alexis Guerrero.
And we out here on Yahoo.
Say my government.
On Yahoo Sports, everybody. Crush.
I like how you said it before the song, before the guy yells Yahoo.
There's no rules. Yeah. Doesn't who is that?
Also, applause.
Also, it hit him in the penis.
Yeah.
In the
penis. Yeah.
Okay. just a little.
That's what Delta did. As soon as I lay flat, they said, hi-ya.
All right. Hit like, comment, subscribe. I forget to tell people up top, but make sure if you already enjoy the Delta One story, and we're going to obviously talk some footy in a little bit.
Yeah.
Make sure you subscribe to the podcast.
I know people say smash. I say make love to the subscribe
make
button.
Make love. Okay.
You know? Press it gently.
Hit the subscribe button from the back.
Damn. Hey, yo, focus a little bit on that bell. You feel me?
Okay.
Pay close attention to that bell.
That's the problem nowadays.
Right?
These young fellas, they keep forgetting about the bell.
Nah, yo, you got to focus on the bell.
The bell.
In fact, I would say hit that first. And you'd be surprised how easy the subscribe button becomes to press.
Hello. Hello, Carter.
What up, Carter?
Carter Kenny. We're already making him uncomfortable. Carter, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm excited to talk some NWSL today.
Carter, tell him about that bell. No, got your girl going.
I'm sure that's
Yo, when they sent us the audio.
They sent us that, they were like, we know it's going to be used in a reasonable manner.
In a very professional way. There's no way these guys could flip that into something sucio.
They're not going to, you know, hurt the brand in any way.
There's no way they would ever besmirch the brand.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's too late.
Hit all that subscribe button.
It's too late. All the contracts have been signed. All right.
Yeah. No, there's no returns on this. There's no gift receipt on the Cooligans.
We're going to be talking Premier League today. A lot, obviously, the League's Cup final half.
We just did an intro. They heard this.
Okay, sure. Yeah. All right. But the video, that's the audio. The video listeners do not get to hear that. And a bunch of other things.
And we got a little surprise for you at the end of the episode. Stick around. We got a whole new segment.
Yeah, let's go. All right.
But you're going to love it.
Real quick, let's
go. Yo, for real, though, you're going to love it.
Well, that's it. A little teaser. Premier League. Let's start. Let's start
teaser, bro.
Okay, don't forget that bell. Brooke, all right. So some notable sort of moments and results in the Premier League.
What would you say the biggest result of the weekend is? I think you and I are going to have different results. Is it Everton losing?
No, honestly, I think it might be the same. Arsenal beating Aston Villa, a team that they lost to two times last season.
Bit of a bogey team last year.
Bogey team. They couldn't figure them out. Unai Emery.
Some would say the loss to them at the end of the season was the reason Arsenal didn't win the Premier League. I would not say that.
You don't say that? I would say that. That was a big turning point because really the standard for winning the Premier League the last few years in these Manchester City years have been basically perfection, and it's wildly unrealistic and unbelievable that we're sort of in this place where you have to be perfect to win a Premier League title.
You absolutely have to. Manchester City has risen the bar to the point where if you don't get like 2.8 points per match, you done, you cooked.
Right. So, but Arsenal beating Aston Villa in a, you know, first half was nil-nil.
Away as well, which is a big deal.
Sure.
Aston Villa is not an easy team to beat, and I think they're going to be just as formidable this year.
The first thing I was noticing in this game was just like, we have what I think are the Premier League's two best goalkeepers, because Raya and Martinez.
I
was watching, it was nil-nil, but I was just like, bro, why are the stop that Emi Martinez did on Saka was like, how did he get to his fingertips, even that, like, just the wherewithal,
the way his body was bent,
the way it was a little bit of like, I used to play on this team, and I'm sure I faced this shot. Yeah. Maybe there's a little.
I remember training.
Yeah. But the fact that he is just the how old is Emi Martinez now?
I think he's like 32.
He's not young. There's a little bit of a feeling of with Emi Martinez that his years were sort of wasted at Arsenal, given that he was the backup and didn't really get as much minutes.
31.
He's 31.
Yeah.
Didn't really get as much minutes as you sort of.
He wanted to be the starter.
Yes. Yes.
And I got to be honest with you. And part of me wonders, should they have just kept him instead of, you know, going through the David Raya.
Leno. It was
I think that was the era. He actually took over for Bern Leno. And yeah. I did not like Bern Leno as my goalkeeper. I was not a fan. As an Arsenal fan, I was not happy with Bern Leno. And I thought Aaron Ramsdale, when he came in, and Emi Martinez, I think, turned that 2020 season around. You know, en route to go get to win the FA Cup. I think Emi Martinez was the beginning of like the passionate goalkeeper. You know, Bern Leno is like very much stonewall in front of goal. He's a great goalkeeper, but he's very much emotionless. Where Emi Martinez was like spirited, would yip at players. And we saw him obviously later on in Copa Americas and stuff, really kind of become his own and come into his own mold. But I think he was at Arsenal for like 15 years as a backup.
It's just a lot, very
more. Yeah, he was there for a long time, not getting any opportunities. And now he absolutely has proven himself to be one of the top goalkeepers in the world. David Raya is still, I think, a bit more solid. There's a stability that comes with David Raya that
I'm not
going to
say that about a guy that won Copa America, won the World Cup. I still think Emi Martinez.
How many clean sheets did David Raya have last season?
Raya is very good.
You would at least admit there's a settling.
It is a final, and I have to pick one goalkeeper. I'm picking Emi Martinez
because you think he's going to go to penalties. In which case, I agree with you.
But let's not. I'm not being dismissive of Raya at all. That stop that he had, the ball that hit
where he put his hand up, it came off the crossbar,
and then the header from Watkins. Watkins, and he gets up and stop. I was just like, bro, what is it? Goalkeeping masterclass.
Yo, you know, it's like the first time you see table tennis, you're like, how are they? You know what I mean? You're like, I'm like, how are they doing that? How do they know the ball's going to be over there? That's exactly what David Raya stopped reminding me of. Just like the hands quicker than the ball, which is impossible.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. This was a great match. And I think for Arsenal, what you want to do is you want to exercise the demons. You feel me? You want to get rid of the ghosts of last season that you thought stopped you from winning the league. I don't blame the Villa loss for the season. Although if they would have won, yes, I think they win the Premier League. But I think it's the losses that came towards the end of the first half of the season. That for me, unmistakably the reason we lost. And then we were continually trying to make up ground while Manchester City does what they do at the end of every season, which has just become perfect after Christmas. So as far as I'm concerned, that's where the league was lost, not necessarily Villa. Villa was a symptom of the greater disease. For me, I was just shocked at how ineffective Gabriel Martinelli is. Yet again.
Yeah, I mean, it's not necessarily, I'm surprised that you are shocked. I
think it's because I still picture, 2021 Martinelli in my head. And that's not who we see, bro. Even the one thing he had over everybody else was that pace that he could snap and fifth gear. Bro, he wasn't able to get in fifth gear at all in this match.
Yeah,
was running, and then all defenders are keeping up with him now.
I thought it was interesting. I saw on Morning Footy, you were talking with the rest of the crew, but Charlie said they got him figured out, which is such a, like, it's such a wildly, it's not even this, it's like, it's, disrespect is not maybe not the exact word, but it's such a, like,
dismissive.
It's just a, like, you're done in this league. Yeah, they got you. Yeah. Well, you got nothing. You got no other
Actually,
moves.
It's what Emi Martinez said to Jefferson. Who's the guy? Remember, he goes, yo te conozco.
Mina?
Yeah, Jefferson Mina. Yeah. Yerson Mina, right?
Yeti Mina.
He said, oye, te vas a cagar. Yo te conozco.
Yeah.
Lo vas a cagar.
It's one of those things like, you got no more tricks up your sleeve.
Yeah, bro, I've read every page of your book, bro. It's hard to really translate that statement into English. There's nothing that really gets the brevity of it. Not the brevity, the weight of it.
Mm-hmm. Yo te conozco.
Yes, yo te conozco means like, bro, I know everything about you, bro. I know what you're going to do before you know you're going
to
do it.
I just want to let you know your mother says hi.
I haven't even spoken to her, by the way. Also Charlie slept an hour and a half last night. So keep that in mind when you watch the show again, if you rewatch it. But for me, Gabriel Martinelli, the reason he's there is that pace should open up space for everyone else. In particular, let Declan Rice in a little bit closer, and it gives Martin Odegaard a little bit more space. It doesn't have to solely camp out near Bukayo Saka. Maybe even gives him enough space to get a shot off, where I think Martin Odegaard is. I think that's what he's tasked with this year, is being a little bit more lethal in front of goal. That said, bro, Martinelli ain't got it. And then you got Trossard coming in and immediately scores a goal. And bro, he celebrates like, huh? Y'all didn't believe in me?
Yeah, I love the. I'll try to pull up the graphic, but the look on his face. We did a TikTok video of ranking
hugs.
Your hugs like after goal celebration. Like, how would
rude
you want
of you to do that? Knowing I grew up without a father.
But ranking where you sort of what type of hug, a blind ranking, but what type of hug you would want after you celebrated a goal. And that was kind of the first thing that came to my mind. There was one of the lower ranked ones,
the
polite hug of just like, oh, it doesn't even really
pat.
You're not even that excited I scored this goal. But there was something about Trossard not celebrating that way that said so much.
The hezzy.
I wouldn't call it hezzy. It was a deliberate decision to send a message to someone. And and it is on us to decipher. You know, it means it's like, the movies at the end that are
film noir.
Film noir.
It just stops, and now you got to figure out what
happened. You decide what that.
We didn't write this part. You do it. Maltese Falcon just walks away. Yo, what is that? It's the stuff the dreams are made of. No, seriously, what is it? I watched an hour and 45 minutes of this.
Wait, Rosebud? What's that?
Damn, it's
confusing.
Fam, you wrote it. You tell us.
So that's why I felt what Trossard was doing, where it was clearly like the people who need to hear this message are hearing it. And if you, maybe it's not for you, maybe you, it's on you to decipher. My initial thought was like, you score a goal against a team that beat you twice last season. You are not the starter. There's nothing to sell. He's like, there's nothing to sell. It's like, you see what I offer. Now it's on you to make the right decision. Yeah.
I give you goals and 3 points. Now you reciprocate.
Exactly.
Give me that start.
It is.
Do you think he's earned the start?
Look, yes. And he has started plenty of games, especially when last season when Martinelli was injured. I couldn't argue that he shouldn't get the start. I'm trying to think. Get him Arteta's
better question.
Head.
Does Arsenal's best 11 have Leandro Trossard in it?
I think so, because I think he's a better decision maker than Martinelli.
He's certainly better in front of goal. I'll give you
that.
Yeah,
and there's something, you know, incredibly like clinical and lethal. And even, again, in his celebration, there's something like, bro, you like a serial killer? Like, why are you celebrating a little bit?
I mean, he looked like he ain't ever slept, right? He looked like he'd been up just trying to trace your steps. You
know? So that part of it is the team, I would argue, is better with him on, you know, in the starting squad. But there is...
The starting is the part that confuses me most, because if you go back to last season, and not every match, there's matches where he absolutely shines, but I feel like what he does best gets deciphered by a defender quicker than what Gabriel Martinelli can potentially do. There's more fear in when Gabriel Martinelli gets the ball at his feet. There's more technical ability when Leandro Trossard gets the ball at his feet. There's better decision making. There's better connecting with the other players. But for the most part, you know he's not going to run past you. Yeah. Defenders can get close, and it doesn't create that fear that happens with Martinelli. Even though Martinelli hasn't done it, there's always the fear like, well, maybe now's the time, and I'm about to get burned, so I should give him a little bit of space. And that little bit of space, had he had Leandro Trossard's decision making and ball skills, you know, with the skills with the ball at his feet, and just his ability to connect passes, I think he'd be even better. But because he doesn't have that, Leandro Trossard does. To me, yeah, Leandro Trossard is a better overall all-around player. But I feel like defenders can collapse a little closer to him, and you're not getting the space you need when you're overloading that final third the way Mikel Arteta asked his team to. So I kind of still see him as a super sub. And while that's frustrating, the manager's job is to get him to see that and see the benefit that he brings to the team and not be frustrated by that. Now, if the opposite is the case, where he was told, hey, man, you might be my starter, you're playing really good, now it's the manager's fault.
Possibly.
Because you've set an expectation you now are not going to match.
I would go even simpler. I just think Martinelli, because he has the pace and he's probably just a little bit more athletic, I think he's a better defender in during presses.
He tracks back. Yeah, he can.
And I think it's probably that much where it's like by the end of the game or later on in the match, you don't need the pace from Trossard. You don't need the pace in that position.
They're tired. You don't need to be pressing for off the beginning.
I'm assuming it's probably that's the philosophy, and it's probably just a frustrating sort of situation to be in for Trossard. But it's there's something to.
This is all of us assuming he's mad at Mikel Arteta.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
He could be mad at some pundit who said he wouldn't score or something. It wasn't me.
All right. But the yeah
it's me like, an economy class or whatever
Delta One elected maybe
Delta One crazy he says a wild stuff
so but again a great celebration I thought it was you know the game itself was entertaining but I thought that was an important moment to highlight. Okay, the other a couple other things in the Premier League Everton.
I thought Chelsea's win was
let's start there.
For me, I mean, we don't have to say too much about it, but it was absolutely, look, I get people saying, it's Wolves. Bro, it's an away match to begin the season. They had a horrific preseason.
Mm-hmm.
There were so many questions. You saw their training. They were training in an airplane hangar.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
I did not see that. No.
You didn't see that?
No.
The Chelsea training had to be in a massive tent because there's so many players. They have 40 potential first team players, which is insane. You have 40 registered players to your team. Yeah, Barcelona got 3 registered players. You know what I mean? If you think of the difference here. And I get it. And, you know, Enzo Maresca has had to come over and over again, talk to the media and say, I don't care how many players we have. I have my 20. I'm not worried about the other players. You know, you got guys like Raheem Sterling not going to play. You got guys like, who is not Mason Mount. Who's the, It might be. Whoever it was.
Mason Mount's at Manchester.
Yeah. Ben Chilwell. Thank you. They look exactly the same in my head, and I know they don't in real life. You've got Connor Gallagher getting sold. Oh, he's one of your best players. He took all that, moved it all aside, and said, yo, if you're playing well, you're going to play. We'll figure it out. He also said in the preseason, defensively, we still have some things to figure out. And it's like, okay, I still think Wolves had a lot of opportunities to make this a lot closer, but you cannot take away from a team scoring 6 goals on their season opening match away from home.
Mm-hmm.
6 goals. That's an embarrassment to Wolves. Embarrassment. And yo, this could have been 8-2 easily.
Yeah.
Madueke could have had 4 goals. Cole Palmer. Jesus Christ.
Cole, my Connor, brain. Caden.
Yo, white dude. Kinda. Cole Palmer absolutely took over in a way where I was like, yo, this dude, I'm not saying this now, okay? In the future, if he keeps playing this way, Cole Palmer could be Hurricane and Heung-Min Son put together.
Interesting.
Bro.
Heung-Min Kane. I love it.
Heung-Min Kane, bro. Heung-Min Kane, bro. This dude has vision, the finishing, and the ability to connect with other players. This dude is a 9 and a 10 all rolled into one. If he keeps playing this way, I know it's dumb early to say this, but yo, low key, this is Harry Kane and Heung-Min Son wrapped into one person. And how did Manchester City let this man go away?
He couldn't find any minutes because of good players. I mean, look, he was Academy Man City kid, right?
Yeah,
I
no, believe. He's a homegrown.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
He
didn't want to sell him. Yeah, he wanted to play.
But Pep says if you don't want to be here, the moment you show any sign of not being 100% loyal to the cause, you got to go.
Yeah.
And this is one of those situations where I understand both parties. I understand if that's what you're saying, if you want to stand on business and say, yo, the moment you show me any sense that you don't want to be here, you have to go because I don't want you in the locker room. And I understand him saying, like, I'm a bet on myself and I want to go get
and
minutes.
It was the right move.
Both, for both parties. Except now, if you're Manchester City, you're thinking like, we might have had to give this dude some minutes before.
Or it was probably like, we should have sold him for 80 instead of 40. You know what I mean? Like,
I think they sold him for like 35, to be honest with you.
So that is the...
Because you're going to have to buy this guy back at 150.
He won the PFA Young Player of the Year.
It's a good rap of PFA Young Player.
You know, he didn't get many minutes at the Euros, but he clearly, you know, he scored a very important goal in the semifinal, I believe.
Bro, that's Southgate's fault.
In the final.
Yeah. When he comes in as a sub, he scores a goal. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. So he's a great player.
And mad people said, like, oh, I don't know. He might not have the same seat. Bro.
Nah, bro.
This dude's going to have
That's a black king right there, bro. Yeah, I love Cole Palmer.
Yo, shouts to Caribbean legend Cole Palmer, bro. Bro, you want us, dog.
Love it.
Yo,
okay.
We co-sign you, bro. You get ropa vieja or mango anytime you want, bro.
Okay, you get the pass, bro. You good.
Yo, you good, bro. Come to Mama Sushi, dog. We got the hookah ready for you, bro.
We got you, dog.
Yo,
all right.
What flavor of hookah do you think? Gotta be green apple, right?
We'll figure it
Watermelon?
Out.
Watermelon?
Why don't we have a hookah in the studio?
Bro, we gotta do hookah.
We gotta look ridiculous on this
shisha.
We'll figure. All right.
Yo, we gotta have like Caribeño minute.
Yeah.
Where we smoke hookah, play dominoes.
This is what I love about being Caribbean. We just appropriate other culture like, hey, this is what we do at nightclubs.
Hold on a second. Those boats showed up to our island. Okay? We did not land on Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock landed on us.
Dominicans are wild, bro. We do this.
They're like,
thing.
What are those Ottomans doing? That's ours now, bro.
Anyway, yeah.
We're going to do this while playing Dembo. I've been listening to Dembo in the car. I get too hyped.
Yo, have you heard Omega's new song?
Which one?
Chapapla.
Yes! Oh,
bro,
my God, yo.
It's a banger.
Which one is the one I'm on, bro? I'm going to pull this up.
I Lupita.
I Lupita's crazy. That's classic.
Lamine Yamal classic. Yeah, that's his banger, bro. If they have to do a remix with Lamine Yamal.
Yo, my mother's calling me. Should I pick up?
It happens from time to time.
Yo, Daisy, I'm on the podcast.
Okay, acuérdate, cumpleaños Gabriel es hoy.
Of course. How could I forget my nephew's birthday, bro?
Okay.
Okay, all right, ma, say something to the Cooligans fans.
Eh?
Say something to the Cooligans fans.
What do you want me to say?
You're on the podcast. Juan Zindra is what she used to call me. No, you're on the podcast right now. Say something inspirational.
Oh my God, you got me off. I don't know what to say. Dad, I love you.
I love you too, man. Yeah, sure. My mom loves y'all. You got her up, she said. Yeah, shout out to Daisy, bro. You call her Daisy, you're going to get slapped. I'm surprised I didn't get in trouble.
Yeah, I would never call my mom by her first name. I have too much respect for
yo, same,
for,
bro.
For family.
Oh, I was tripping when I picked up the phone. I'm on a lot of espresso.
Anyway, okay.
Speaking of Chelsea, though, Nico Jackson. No, what were you talking about, Madueke?
I was going to point this out because Madueke got a hat trick.
Yeah.
And but before he got the hat trick, he went on his IG stories.
He did a little oopsie. Have you done this before? Have you ever a close friend did by mistake? You
literally never.
Do you have a close friend?
I don't have close friends. And oh, man, damn. That just really hurt me hard, bro. You really got
Do you have a close friends list?
I do not. I don't do.
I use it sometimes.
Okay.
I've never made this mistake. The rumor is, This man, Madueke, posted in his Instagram stories, everything about this place is shit. And then he tags Wolverhampton as a place, as a city, bro.
This is before the game, the day before.
The location tag is crazy. Bro, he didn't even have, there wasn't even a photo for him to put in the background. That's how the town is.
There's nothing I can share about this place.
And I feel terrible saying this in front of the honorable Daryl Grove poster, because Daryl Grove is from this area.
Yeah.
But he was supposed to put this in close friend. He did not. He hit the main.
Hit it on the main. He was and once it was there for just a couple moments, it was like, oh, bro, that's it. Too late.
Mad people were like, yo, dog, you need to delete that. So he deleted it, but it was too late. Screen caps went out. We just posted it.
Uh-huh.
By the way, it lasted at least 4 minutes. This is how disrespectful he is to the city of Wolverhampton, bro. He came out and scored 3 on him. Could have had 4.
Yeah, yeah. So it's funny. Look, it's... The fact that he posts this and gets the hat trick is there's a little bit of like, all right, you stood on business. We're going to allow this disrespect, right? Because most of the time he's like, this isn't very polite. This is in polite society, as you're being welcomed.
Because football players are polite.
As the away team, even if it's a fantasy, if it's a facade, there's a little bit of like, thank you for welcoming me. We are about to play this football match, and best players.
There
win.
Is a we're trading the little pennants.
The formalities.
Shake the hands if we're not going to 2-foot each other as soon as
even
the
though we understand that some of these cities you may not vacation. I don't necessarily think like I wonder what Sheffield is like time of year.
Middlesbrough. I've always wanted to, venture off to the vineyards of Middlesbrough.
Can't wait to play in that, those grounds.
Scunthorpe. Sounds romantic,
We know that. So when the fact that you post this, and yes, even if it is, I give credit to Madueke's, his close friends list, because this is the type of banter happening.
They're getting real content.
They're getting real content, and he's like, nobody in my circle will let this leak.
Yeah.
And he's like, but except for me.
I'll leak it myself.
I'm the leak.
I'm the problem. Yo, in fact, I think actually we may have unlocked how to motivate this man to score a hat trick. Their next away match, they go off to Servette for Champions League qualification, so I'm going to put that aside.
Mm-hmm.
But their next away match is Bournemouth. Hey, right before that match, you might want to post everything about this place is Bournemouth.
Yeah, okay.
And then see how you ball out. I think this is now what you got to do this everywhere you go.
Right, but the only problem is that there's almost no way he can go to Bournemouth at a restaurant without somebody spitting in his food. Right?
Yeah,
This is the risk you take.
You gotta Uber Eats under someone else's name.
Gotcha.
That's the only way. You gotta ask your homie, like, yo, you Uber Eats for me real quick?
I just need need a burner Uber Eats account.
100%. Bro, you need a Fuber Eats instead of a Finsta.
So ridiculous. So wow, but good on him. Get the hat trick. But impressive stuff. So Chelsea, look, their first game was against Man City, and everybody was like, this team, this is what the hell are we doing? We have 40 registered players and blah blah blah. A 6-2 win helps a little bit.
Absolutely.
Ease that a little bit of that narrative. Okay. And finally, we're in Premier League. Everton losing to Tottenham. 4-0.
How could you do this to me?
How could you do this to me, Carter? Why is your team doing this?
How could you make me sad and Carter happy?
That can't happen. No, look, did I expect... I guess... I didn't expect Everton to win this game.
Nobody did.
But the main issue here is...
If Everton would have won this game, I think Ange Postecoglou gets sacked.
This is a... I'll just say this. I thought things were bad. I think they are way worse than I thought. This season seems like the we've only had two match days, but this season the Premier League looks like it's I don't know, the level seems higher. Mm-hmm. There's just something to you know,
everyone like retooled and got even better.
The complacency of, you know, these,
whereas like you might be right, because 2 years ago I could see Everton finding their way into like eighth or ninth.
Sure.
Bro, right now, yo, you lucky if you finish 14th.
14th is a dream.
What a luxury. That's Delta One for you.
Where's my Champions League spot for 14th? That's what I want.
Yo, where shall we go on our European adventure?
What's a Servette like this time of year?
Don't ask Madueke.
The Everton are in last place with a -7 goal differential. They've given up 3 goals in their first game, 4 in their second. They have not scored any goals.
That's brutal.
Wolves
just got 6 hung on them, and they're above you.
Right. And this is a team that looks... There are a lot of injuries. There are a lot of missing players. There's a lot of, you know, obviously they sold Onana, and Onana was on after the first win. I think they play West Ham. I forgot who Aston Villa won against in that first game.
I can't remember.
But he was talking to Rebecca Lowe and everybody from NBC, and he was saying, I think Robbie must have asked him about, like, you look like you're having a lot more fun here. And
yeah, you look less stressed.
He said, you know, he was just like, yeah, it was a lot more attacking football, you know, controlling the game, having the ball and stuff like that. And he was like, you know, with all due respect, but this system suits me a little bit better. And it's like, with the you don't even need that with all due respect. We get it.
Like, that actually, when you say with all due respect, it sounds like I want you to take this as disrespectfully as possible.
Because we know, I don't think he was disrespecting Everton, and I think he really loved playing for Everton as well.
But that's got to be difficult to play in the Sean Dyche system. I know I'm a bit of a
Sean Dyche system, but it's almost any Premier League manager that manages Everton with the players that they have. My group chat, my Everton group chat is like, yo, David Moyes is available.
They're like, anybody.
Like, you know, maybe we can go back to those years when Moyes was the manager, but. The more than anything, it's just like the because of the injuries.
Wait, so your group chat's already Sean Dyche out?
A couple people.
I like that.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, it's look what he did last season and got those huge wins, beating Liverpool at Anfield. Mm-hmm. Like, he's gonna have a much longer leash. But this team right now doesn't even look fit to play in the Premier League. I mean, without a doubt. Like
honestly, you're lucky you didn't get relegated, because I don't think this team gets promoted.
I don't think so either. They are they're just bad. And I feel bad for, like, even the players that normally are good. Dominic Calvert-Lewin can't even get the ball.
Yeah, no.
Jack Harrison is
he's their most dynamic player, no? Just a kind of game maybe, but he's kind of up there in age.
I would say that is what is sort of tasked of him to like go 1v1, send in some crosses, and he's not looking sort of sharp enough yet, like sort of ready for the season. And I don't know if that means that it's, you know, the team doesn't really have any chemistry. I'm not putting it solely on him, but nobody individually is even looking like, yo, I'm ready to play this season.
Yeah,
it's brutal. It's almost unwatchable.
Yeah.
And this is where I feel like the previous few years, you're always like, oh, bad start, but they'll figure it out. I don't know if they're going to figure it out. Yeah, it's that bad. So
bad start, bad middle, bad end.
The bar is fairly low, but bro, this is because I'm like, I have not seen a team worse than Everton in these two games.
Bro, you can't finish below Ipswich.
You can't finish below Ipswich.
Nah, that's a fail.
Put it on a t-shirt. Or even Neil Mopai had retweeted there were fans that were Tottenham, so they were taking the train from London,
mm-hmm.
then they were going back to going back to Liverpool, and fans waited for the Everton players to get on the train. So as they were walking by, and like several fans were just like berating the players, and Neil Maupai was like, you know, just kind of pointed out like, imagine why are we normalizing you know, this kind of treatment to people who are going to work and trying their best. And people are like, are they trying their best?
Yeah. Because can I answer that?
Sure.
Because what are you going to say? Like, nobody yells at doctors like that. People don't
exactly.
yell. Yeah. People don't buy tickets to go see doctors perform surgery. People don't get, you don't have to get a season ticket to go see a chef cook food.
It's also,
it's ridiculous. If you pay for a meal and your meal's bad, you have every right not to yell at a chef when he walks by, but you have a right to be like, hey, this isn't good. You can leave that review on the internet. People are literally wasting their entire weekends watching you do this. This is your job. And you suck at it in a way where like, yo, people have traveled. People travel to go see you do your job. Yeah, they don't. Maybe they can't abuse you. I agree with you. They racial? Absolutely not. Disrespect? You get a little, there's a line there. You're allowed to be critical. You certainly shouldn't disrespect players' wives or families or kids or any of that nature. But bro, you're allowed to say like, yo, you kind of ruined my week, dog. I waited all week for this moment, man. I spend so much of my available income to root you on. I buy your shirt with your name on the back. I don't do that for my dentist. I don't do that. I don't do that.
That'd be dope, though.
Yo, imagine you showed up like, yo, thank you. Thank you.
These scrubs.
Yo, look at Schlossberg on our back. Crazy. That's my actual dentist. That's not disrespectful.
Shout out to Dr. Schlossberg.
Yo, I call him Doc Schlurg, bro. Mix it all in one. He hates it. But that's why, man. People are spending their hard-earned money. Dude, families are upended. You're missing birthday parties. You're missing, you know, recitals so that you could go and root this team on. Yeah, dog. Yeah, man. You're kind of allowed to be like, yo, that was ass, man.
Yeah. I mean, look, I guess the only caveat I would sort of say, like, it's sort of to me in the stadium, that sort of makes sense. I mean, like, I'm just trying to go home, dog. Like, you know, what?
Why is the team taking the train?
Because it's actually be more convenient than taking the bus or driving out of London to get to Liverpool. We took the train. There was a comfy ride. It was lovely.
It's kind of crazy. They take the train though.
I mean, they ain't taking the 7 train. It's a comfy, light, nice train.
Yeah, but nah, still, it seems a little like, nah, man. You should be on private roads.
That's what happens. You could go on Delta One time, and bro,
look, I'm not telling you. I don't know how you travel. Okay. Well, this is how you got recognized. I got recognized in the economy. You got recognized on the economy train. You got to be in Delta One where nobody sees you, bro. You put the mask. They give you the mask. It's so beautiful.
Unfortunately, winning is the only thing that, you know, eases any of that.
Best of luck with that.
All right. We'll start. We got to talk.
We didn't even talk about Xerxes' knee with the offside goal for Manchester United.
I mean,
oh,
United,
brutal.
Also back in the mud, United.
Brutal.
We'll see how they do next week. All right, let's talk some Leagues Cup, American Soccer, NWSL, because a lot happened this weekend. All right, let's talk some Leagues Cup, the final. Delish. The final.
Give me a little more, please.
The final happened last night, and also the third place game as well. So the Colorado ended up beating Philadelphia Union in penalties, even though it's a third place game. And in the Olympics, it doesn't really matter. Just
well, you get a bronze medal.
You get a bronze or whatever.
You get the podium.
But in this instance, the third place winner gets a spot in the CONCACAF Champions Cup. So clearly a lot to play for.
So Colorado Rapids in the CONCACAF Champions Cup.
That's right. We all saw it coming.
I had the vision.
Okay.
Hey, well, that means a Puerto Rican Cuban coach will be coaching in the CONCACAF Champions Cup.
It's what we've always needed. Always been missing. That's what's always been missing.
Bro, get ready to play gasolina in the stadium.
The they ended up the penalty. This was an interesting thing. The coin toss. Andre Blake and Georgia Mihailovic are the captains. Mm-hmm. So they do the coin toss to decide penalties. Andre Blake goes up there. Philadelphia Union win the coin toss, and he tells the ref they're going to go first. When we all know the stats, there's something like 65% of teams that win in penalties.
He's the keeper, though.
He is the keeper, though.
So he's trying to win the mind games early.
He is.
And it did not work out.
It did not work out because they not only did he not stop many penalties or any. I don't remember exactly, but Philadelphia Union missed like their first three penalties. Oh. It was a terrible start.
Well, so, then that's not Blake's fault.
It's not Blake's fault, but still. But the stats always favor the team that goes first.
Yeah.
Why would he?
You got to go first.
You got
to
go first.
If you have a chance to go first, you go first.
I don't get it.
Oh, okay. So Philly Union missed their first two, Gazdag and Baribo. And then Jack Elliott scores his, and then Mbazo misses his.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Colorado result. No, and that's it. Thing, yeah. Only missed one.
Baezo, I think, hit the crossbar.
Yeah.
But, bro, you can't not go first. I don't get it. I mean, this just seems like a missed opportunity to just like get and got like Gazdag, who makes all the penalties for you know, they call him a penalty merchant because right. That's how he gets a lot of his goals in the regular season. And he
Panuel Gazdag.
There we go. We got a new name.
A new nickname just dropped.
Okay. And misses his and also the best goalkeeper award. I don't know why they're giving this award, but went to Zach Steffen again, who was like
The retribution
had a tumultuous last few years. Obviously, lost his starting spot the U.S. men's national team. Went to Manchester City, wasn't really getting any minutes. Won a Premier League title.
Went on loan, couple loans.
Was he on the Champions League winning team? I think he was.
Yeah.
So has trophies, has medals. He's earned it by being a player there. He obviously didn't play very much. He got loaned out two or three times while at Manchester City, and I think he went to Middlesbrough and went somewhere else.
Düsseldorf?
This was before he went to Manchester City. He was the goalkeeper at Düsseldorf. So this is when he first left the crew. He went to City and then loaned to Düsseldorf. Okay, so that's how it was. But he's been spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
In this league's cup, and not necessarily, but he's been incredible at stopping a lot of penalties. He's made huge saves on a
team. These are two great goalkeepers. Andre Blake and Zach Steffen are two great goalkeepers.
I can comfortably say Andre Blake is a great goalkeeper, and I think Zach Steffen is having a little bit of this redemption of
he's on his way back to
back
being a
to
great,
being a great goalkeeper. Yeah.
Okay, and I'll take that.
Because the move to Colorado from Manchester City or just leaving Europe obviously feels like a step down. Everybody was critical of it. But maybe this is maybe helping him build his confidence again and get back on the U.S. men's national team. Because it's kind of wild to be the number one
and then just stone cold,
you're not even getting called in.
Yeah.
Which is kind of wild. I mean, but given the goalkeeper situation for the U.S. men's national team, where it's seemingly no one is playing, nobody's getting minutes. And then
Gaga Slonina.
Or Horvath with the horrendous error that he made recently. I'm just saying, I mean, I'm just kind of impressed by these Colorado Rapids. I don't think people expected much of them in this tournament.
They also started the season very slow, so I think this was a bit of a surprise. But for them to end up in CONCACAF Champions Cup, I think all of us are like, whoa, none of us would have bet money on that.
Exactly. So, and very disappointing, I think, for the Union, who are having a pretty mediocre season.
Yeah.
This could have been a little bit of like, oh, we had a
uncharacteristic season for them. They're letting leads go. They're all simple things.
Yeah.
The final, though, was...
The final was...
Let me tell you something. The vibes at lower.com, I can't believe I haven't been to the stadium.
We haven't been there yet.
It looks so much fun. It looks so electric.
Yeah.
And this whole match was the Cucho show, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Cucho Hernandez has been... part of me hates this because the discourse in Major League Soccer is very much whenever there's a player that is like lighting it up, they're like, he shouldn't even be here.
He's too good for this league.
And it's just like, bro, what do you mean? We can't just like enjoy that we have a...
But also low key, every team should have someone that's too good for this league. That's the whole point of the DP. You think when Beckham walked in, everyone was like, no, that's this is his level. You know,
it's just it's an annoying sort of a talking point. But this game, I think it kind of solidifies the fact that I wouldn't say we have a super team on our hands with Columbus Crew.
Because it's not a super team. Super team to me means like you have a list of superstars outside of Cucho and maybe Darlington Nagbe. Mm-hmm. This is a team of really good players, but not superstars.
Right.
And what I think the real superstar of this team is Wilfred Nancy.
Yeah. The fact that he is able to, because even when Nancy got the job, it was still a, you know, it's like he's walking into a good situation.
Yeah, but also like you took a good coach away from Montreal, but is he really a good coach? Was it, you know, flash in the pan?
Yeah.
Bro, he's proven to me he's the best coach in all of MLS.
I agree. Yeah, he's able to.
In fact, he's too good for this league, bro.
It's really the combination of like these superstar players and players that are willing to like what you know run through a wall for him as people always say. But
can you sell a head coach?
You can sell a head coach technically because if the coach is under contract, if the coach not
you
sell,
can get a fee.
Yeah, but you have to negotiate. You have to buy him out from the other team. So it's not you're selling him, but he's just like no, you're not allowed to just.
We should transfer coaches, dude. Wilfred Nancy would probably get the highest fee in MLS.
Maybe. Okay. Well, I mean, maybe there's a new way to make money.
We said selling league. That means everything. Players, couches, whatever you need.
J.D. Vance was just like, what?
Yeah. Is it soft? Does your couch snitch?
The fact that he's able to take these veteran players and really, really quality players.
Speaking of, Christian Ramirez completely changed the type of player this man is late in his career.
Very much.
Yeah. And he looks so good.
He looks great. I mean, he was playing at Minnesota, went to Houston, went to LAFC.
Then
he went to Aberdeen. So it felt a little bit of like,
was it Aberdeen before LAFC?
I don't remember, but it was along the journey was about.
It's been on the show. Right.
Yes. So it was a little bit of like, oh, he's just an MLS journeyman. He's, a Kai Kamara-esque sort of type of player. And he, to me, has found a real home, a real system that suits him well. He didn't have a great final in particular, but he's had a great Leagues Cup in general.
Yeah, I mean, not every game is going to be a blinder, right? But he's proven to me that he's a much better player.
Honestly, what impresses me more isn't the Cuchos. It is the
Farsi.
This guy,
you know, he was Futsal Player of the Year in Canada,
bro. This is.
Did you know they gave that award?
This man was doing the Ronaldinho classic clips. You know what I mean? Classic videos. And then they plucked him out of, you know, seemingly what is obscurity. And he is looking great. Moreira, was he from Cape Verde. Cape Verde. Arston, and then the goal that came from Jakin Russell-Rowe. I thought it was Jason this whole time. Maybe it is Jason.
So did I.
I think it's Jason. With the C in there threw me off. But Jason Russell-Rowe, the goal there.
It is, yeah. In fact, the first one, I thought he scored two, but it turns out he just never touched the Cucho Hernandez.
Okay. Yeah,
trickling, yeah.
But that goal, for such a young player who was playing on Crew 2, I think fairly recently.
He was on Crew 2?
Yeah, he
looks good.
Dude, looks great. He's looked great this whole season.
Yeah.
He's just like, I'm just like, why is he so composed?
Thought we got him from Europe for some reason. Honestly, I thought we got him from some like secondary team or something.
No.
Because he's so good.
He's
another Canadian. Why are we helping these Canadians win, bro?
But
we're falling into Jesse Marsh's trap.
But he's just very comfortable. He was on Crew. He went from Toronto FC 2 and then played at Crew 2. And then
he scored 23 goals in 26 goals in 23 games at Crew 2.
Yeah.
Damn.
Baller, bro. So it's just like the fact that he's able to take these younger players and have them fit in so comfortably in the team where they don't even really look rattled. When Giroud gets his first goal for LAFC,
it felt like, oh, maybe it's a momentum switch at that moment.
And it was. Arguably, that second half, LAFC, really, I didn't even recognize that first half from LAFC. They just looked, they had almost no possession. they didn't really, they weren't super comfortable.
They weren't even trying, bro. They're just hoping Denny Bouanga got into space.
Right. And then the, but the goal from Giroud felt like, that tide was turning. And then, look, and it's interesting because Lloris has been a little bit of a, obviously, when you bring in, he's not a DP, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think he is. He's not.
What's the term we want to give to a big name player that's technically not a DP?
It's just like a TAM player.
Yeah.
But even bringing in a big name player who is a goalkeeper, right?
An aged goalkeeper is such a mistake. Has that ever worked out?
Yeah, it's never. At the very least, it's not like exciting. I mean, it's sort of working with Berkey in St. Louis, but this season it's like, last season they were spectacular in their expansion year. And then this season, you can barely recognize them. It's just like, why are they so bad? Even though they had like an insane game against Portland, the 4-4 game. But Lloris, I put that on him. That goal, obviously the game-winning goal from Cucho, it's like you shouldn't be in that position where you're just like, the ball, what do they say to keepers? It's like you can't move unless you know the ball has been struck, right? Like the ball was in the air.
Because then you're cheating, right? You're guessing.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you're going early.
Like, why aren't you expecting the ball to get exactly there unless it is hit? Like your reflexes.
Are you talking about the one that trickles in?
Yeah.
I mean, he thought a header was coming.
I know, but he can't think that a header is coming if the ball has not been hit.
But it looked like he was hedging his bets both ways, which still feels like the right move.
Because it touches his hand. It takes a weird bounce.
So this is the issue, is that I think he thought he still had the bunnies to be able to get it.
Exactly.
Not so much that he was late. It's that, I don't have the spring to get that anymore, when in the past I could, so I'm judging it as if I can get to it, you know?
And reality, father time never loses,
they say,
bro.
Get to the back of the plane, dog.
Okay. I mean, it sounds like a weird civil rights thing, like the way you said it. Yeah.
I meant more of a what happened to me, you know.
But yes, I think reality hit very quickly. Five, ten years ago, this is an easy grab for me. So it was disappointing to see LAFC lose in that manner, even though I think LAFC were probably going to lose anyway. Because again, Columbus, what we are seeing right now is a team that is where every player is in form. And they played NYCFC, in the League's Cup and they won in penalties. Even in that game, like NYCFC had a better game plan for Columbus than LAFC did, clearly, because especially in that first half, it was very notable. But what we're seeing with Columbus is really, really impressive. And we have to give credit to Nancy, to the players themselves.
Credit from the top down, because they seem like a team where you lose Aiden Morris, quite possibly one of the best midfielders in the league, and they have not skipped a beat. They have developed a squad that is plug and play in a way where I don't think we've ever seen this before in this league. And that credit goes to Wilfred Nancy. That credit goes to the folks in the front office. A lot needs to be mentioned about this. Like, this needs to be talked about more, because I'm in awe of what Columbus is doing. We're talking about a team that was almost lost.
Sure. Yeah.
This would have been gone. Mm-hmm. It's crazy how they've been able to simply keep pace with the expectations that they've set, losing players, having to sell players in the structure that MLS sets up. They still find a way to make it happen and be a consistent team, which is like nearly impossible.
Right, totally. Yeah. From the GM standpoint and president and everybody, they just have it figured out with buying and bringing in the right players, spending money where they need, getting academy players where they need, and it's just working perfectly. And that's kind of the thing that we're not used to seeing that so consistently. And then they also bring in DeJuan Jones, who's a flat-out starter for the Revs. And now he's probably fighting for some time here. He could probably, he came into this game.
Eventually, he will.
Yeah, yeah. So, impressive. Team overall, and big win.
Share
for
your
the
secrets
crew.
With New York City FC. Just share what you know.
So, and then a couple other things in NWSL. Rapinoe had her retirement game.
Yes.
The rain played against the North Carolina Courage.
They got the win, which is great. Shouts to Megan Rapinoe. It seemed like a joyous occasion.
Yes, it was lovely. It was the game itself was
a little brutal.
Felt like, oh my God, we're gonna have a 0-0 on Rapinoe's retirement game,
bro. It should have been 1-5.
But no, it was not. We got a goal from Adames. Well, I forgot her first name, but it was an own goal technically from Casey Murphy because it was a header in the 97th minute that hits the post.
Bounced off the keeper.
Casey Murphy had a spectacular game all game.
Until that moment.
Ball, and I thought she had it. I thought, yeah, clearly you see it bounce off the post and I'm like, oh, she's just going to grab it. And no, it's just like the slight sort of, I think her hand was on the ground.
Something was angled in.
Yeah, as she was trying to like lift her hand up to try to get the ball, she sort of hits the ball back into her own net.
The stats are crazy. 17 shots to 4.
Yeah. No, especially towards the end of the game. There was a little bit of like, we got to do this for Pino.
Yeah, yeah,
we
got
to do this for Pino. And so you notice that towards the end. But there were a lot of like great moments. Obviously, the fanfare around Rapinoe was great. Adames, who scored the goal, there was a really hilarious moment. I'll see if I can find it. When she was 8 years old, she took a picture with Megan Rapinoe. And now she was the...
I've actually seen this shared. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it. I think NWSL had it. But it was just such a sweet moment of... It's similar to the Sophie Smith and Alex Morgan picture.
Or the Lamine Yamal.
Lamine Yamal and Messi. Yeah, yeah.
Which is so creepy.
So it's very much feeling like... here it is. Emery Adames. It's just such a cool
that's crazy
moment. She's 8 years old taking a picture with Megan Rapinoe and now she's playing on the rain and then does the Rapinoe celebration after such a cool,
also give her the goal.
I mean, come on.
NWSL.
I mean, we saw what happened, but nah, bro. Yeah. For the story, give her the goal.
For the vibes.
And then Kansas City Current get their first loss of the season to the Washington Spirit. So the only unbeaten team in the NWSL that remains is Orlando Pride.
They got nine weeks. They might be able to do it.
Can they? We have not had an unbeaten team in NWSL, to my knowledge.
I thought it would have been Gotham with the squad they went out.
I know, right? But Orlando, I think they, and one of the reasons I think they can do it is because of the fire in the eyes of Marta after losing another Olympic final to the United States. I think there's something.
Dude, I'm gonna beat you in your own house.
Has Marta ever won an NWSL championship?
I believe she has.
NWSL? I don't think she has. I mean, she played in Europe for a long time. Where did she play? She played in, not Sweden, Denmark?
Here, if you go to profile.
I don't know, but I know.
She's won the in Brazil International.
Okay.
And she won the league with Rosengard.
Rosa, which is where?
Rosengard in Sweden, which is like the big, one of the biggest.
One thing people may not know about Marta speaks fluent, like Swedish.
Really?
Fluent. Remember we saw that documentary?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, she just popped up. We're like, well, it's going to be subscript to this, like, one. There was nothing. Yeah.
Portuguese and fluent Swedish.
I don't need it. Those are the two. Those are only two I
the
need.
The most spoken languages in the world that I speak them.
I got Portuguese and Swedish. What, you, English? Nah, I don't need it.
Never heard of it.
No, thank you. She won the league with Umeå in Sweden and Rosengard in Sweden.
Okay, so
but
she's
never NWSL.
So I think it's a very good chance this time around. She has a very strong team around her. Obviously, players like Barbara Banda helps quite a bit. And then
shouts to the ladies of Attack and Third. They were talking about whether they could go undefeated. And I think Lisa and Darian both said that they could.
I see it. And then real quick, we probably need more time to talk about this, but maybe we'll go over it on Thursday. But San Diego Wave just announced Abby Dahlkemper, their first ever signing. Obviously, won the World Cup in 2019. Yeah. The starting center back for the U.S.
So Landon Donovan makes his first move. Gets rid of Abby Dahlkemper.
Or maybe Abby Dahlkemper was like, "Nah, I don't want any of this."
Yeah.
So Abby Dahlkemper is going to Bay FC, but Landon Donovan has been announced as the interim head coach for San Diego Wave.
Yeah, this is a great move after the league. MLS kind of put him in a tough position with his loyal. They were disloyal. to Landon Donovan, now that I think about it. Bars. So this, I think, is a great opportunity for him to get back into coaching in a bigger way.
But he's also, obviously, a lot of criticism. He's never coached the women's team before. And no. People are like,
but what? He's also been a big supporter of the women's game. Not that that allows you to become a coach.
Correct.
He's also coached before. So I think this could potentially be good.
He has caught flack for not being super supportive of the equal pay for the women's team as well.
Did that happen?
That did happen. So
I don't remember that.
I might be misremembering. I don't know. I don't think he was like a staunch anti, but I don't think he was as supportive as I think people would have wanted.
Yeah.
But apologies if it was worse than I'm sort of, you know.
Yeah, I don't remember that at all.
I have seen that criticism. But in general, I think it's a little bit of a, it's more of a concern. I don't think it really has anything to do with him specifically. It's more of a concern with everything going on with the Wave.
The Jill Ellis situation hasn't been resolved.
There's now a lawsuit.
Isn't it a counter lawsuit or there's an initial lawsuit?
I think it's an initial lawsuit. It is suing a former employee for
disparaging.
Yes, exactly. And a lot of people are not happy about the whole situation. We will see what happens in this lawsuit. But the decision to go to hire Landon Donovan doesn't, you know, to get rid of Casey Stoney, a great career in women's football, to get rid of her, to bring in Landon Donovan, nobody can really make sense of what Jill Ellis sort of wants.
Yeah, but you can't just say, and look, I mean, with all the allegations and the trials and stuff aside, Jill Ellis is someone who seems to me like she's pretty detail oriented. So I'm sure she went through a very long vetting process to get to Landon Donovan. That's the respect I'm going to give her.
This is an excerpt from an article. I think it's from an Athletic article.
And this proves my point, I'm assuming.
This is from Andre Carlisle, who covers women's soccer. But I saw him tweet this out. And I'll just read it real quick. It says, yet the most interesting part of the story isn't so much that Donovan got the job. It's how he got it.
Oh, probably. So this is going to talk about all the research he did.
When Wave president Jill Ellis reached out to him earlier this month looking for recommendations for an interim coach to replace the fired Casey Stoney, Donovan recommended himself.
Mm.
He says, quote, he and I were having a conversation and he sort of said, you know, I miss coaching. I would like to be considered for this. Ellis said, quote, and I was like, wow, okay. So, and she continued. So we moved on it. And I think it's been a terrific move. End quote.
Okay, so not the long vetting process I was talking about? Is that what you're suggesting?
It's almost like somebody being like, hey, you know, I've been single a long time. You have any friends I could like potentially date? You know what? It's like, you know what? I honestly have always wanted to bang you. Yeah. So why don't we just...
Whoa, am I still friend zoned?
What a wild...
Have I told you what I do with the bell?
Kind of wild.
That is ridiculous.
It doesn't mean that he can't.
No,
coach
it doesn't
well.
Leave you with a lot of confidence.
It doesn't. And it's more of a concern of just like institutionally, how is this club?
Yeah.
That this is.
You didn't have a list?
Why are you also asking Landon Donovan if he knows anybody? You also won a World Cup.
Yeah. You don't know one of your assistants?
You don't
one
know
of your
anybody?
Former assistants?
That has to be a group chat you win.
Twyla Kilgore, bro. Get her over here.
There has to be a couple. And again, he might end up being a great coach. I do not know. But when you're the player that your first player that you signed is gone now, and you get the sense like people may not want to be there, I don't think it's a little bit concerning. Again, institutionally.
The only time I ever heard anything like this was when the Saputos were saying, or whoever was running Montreal, they said, how the hell did you get, you know, Thierry Henry?
Mm-hmm.
They said, he called us and said, hey, I want to be a coach. And we're like, dog, that ain't the flex you think it is, my G. You just took away all the confidence we had in you.
Yeah. You should have a department.
Yeah.
Not the waiting for Thierry Henry to call department.
We got a phone that only Thierry Henry has the number to. And we're just, it hasn't run yet, but we look at it a lot. And let me tell you, one day.
Exactly. What, you think I'm not going to pay $200,000 to the guy that manages this phone to wait for Thierry Henry's call?
Ridiculous. If you think we would be that unprofessional.
Okay, we believe in paying our workers a fair share.
Thank you very much. No, it didn't ring. Okay.
Okay. Another day in the books.
maybe tomorrow.
All right. We got a couple other things to wrap up. We'll be right back after this. Alexis, you were away last week.
Yeah.
So you may have missed this, but I don't know if you catch up with Peruvian third division football, but that's what we do here. But there was a player that was sent off for a red. He got a red card because he was urinating during a corner. This was a player was receiving treatment. He was like, "Yo, let me go wee wees," and ref was like, "Nah, bro, you're getting sent off."
Yeah, that's not allowed.
So this dude's name was Sebastian Munoz. He plays for a club called Atlético Aguajun. And this leads us into a brand new segment that we are calling, Oh, For Real?
Oh, For Real? Yo, how you get a red card? Oh, For Real? What even made you think you can do this? How'd you find out you could do this? Was it, what reminded you of it? Was it the fact that you were playing a team called Cantorcillo, and you said, "Yo, that sounds a lot like garzoncillo," okay, and that's underwear in Spanish. Oh, that's right. I need to go pee-pee. For real, though?
Oh, for real? You really made the ref give you a red card for urinating during a match? You know he has to go home to his family, and when they ask, "Hey, Dad, how was work?" he has to tell his children, "You know how you barely respect me for my job? Well, I found a guy who respects me even less."
Damn, for real? Damn, yo. And just think about this. What, you just about to pee during a Copa Peru match? How much confidence do you think that gives you for your players? If you win this Copa Peru and you hand it off to another player, you probably thinking like, "Yo, for real? Is this beer? For real?"
Oh,
because I don't trust you.
For real, though. Look, you thought it was a good idea to take a piss while the goalkeeper was receiving medical treatment. When there are breaks in soccer, people use that time to hydrate, not water the pitch.
Nah, you went the wrong way. For real, though. And yo, you're so egregious. You got people saying that you actually did this as part of match fixing. Personally, I think they were wrong. I think you saw this. You said, "Hey, this is a televised match. I play in the third division of Peru. Not all of them are. And maybe this is a way for me to soft launch my OnlyFans." You feel me? At least, bro, for real, I hope it was soft launch.
Okay.
For real.
For real? You're just gonna piss while looking over your shoulder? The no-look piss is crazy,
that's
right?
That's crazy.
You know, you got to keep your eyes on your own test ease. Hey,
yo, Pelé never did that.
Okay? Test ease.
Bro. For real.
All right, everybody. Thank you for joining us in our brand new segment, everybody. And thank you
for
tuning in to a brand new episode of the Cooligans. We appreciate you. Make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans.
Before
on
we
all
go,
social.
Though,
I'm going to mention that. I just want to say my thing.
Get a little gap.
Get a little gap because it's going to be weird if I transition right into it. But yes, make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans on all shows. So hit subscribe on the YouTube channel as well. And follow us at Chris Polanco, at Christian_Polanco on Instagram, and at Not Alexis everywhere else. And we obviously, what we want to do is send some, condolences, obviously.
Yes, condolences needed, absolutely.
For the recent passing of Sven...
Goran Eriksson.
Goran Eriksson.
Which a lot of folks listening don't remember him, but he's, a storied career, both player and coach. Obviously, you saw the emotions. Remember, Klopp was willing to let him manage the team for a game last year.
Yes. That was one of his dreams. Was
to coach Liverpool.
To coach at Anfield. Yeah,
to manage at Anfield. Mm-hmm. Didn't get a chance to do that, but they did set up a testimonial match for him where he did get to do that. But he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, knew he had a limited amount of time left, and he did something that I think is so brave, which is decide to use that time to live as much as you possibly can. He visited a lot of stadiums. He He shared his love of football with the world. He shared how much, and sometimes even I, this happens where we've spent so much time in this sport, we wonder, are we wasting some of our time? You know, we miss out on birthdays and parties and weddings because of events that we have to go to. And I'm thinking, does
forget
this take
your nephew's birthday? You know?
I totally forgot. I mean, I may have called him during the break, but I didn't need my mom to tell me that. She's like, oh, you got me fucked. But he said something 5 days ago when I think he knew his time was up, and I think it's an important read. He said, this is a quote, I hope you will remember me as a positive guy trying to do everything he could do. Don't be sorry. Smile. Thank you for everything. Coaches, players, the crowds. It's been fantastic. Take care of yourself and take care of your life and live it. Bye. Those are the words of someone who knew his time was up, but tried his hardest, even at least the end, to live it to the fullest. And if there's anything you can take away from something so horrific as what happens when somebody has cancer or just knows their time is up, is there something you can take from that? I hope it's that. What a beautiful statement from a guy that seemingly everybody loved. The outpouring of love has been absolutely amazing from competitors, even people who never even got a chance to play with or for him. It's been absolutely incredible. And I don't know that I would have the bravery to do what he has been able to do this past few years. Unfortunately, he's gone now. But if you could take anything from his life, even if you didn't watch a second of football that he was involved in any way, shape, or form, is take that statement. Go live your life. It's beautiful.
Yeah. I feel like it, you know, we unfortunately and sadly have experienced and lost people to cancer. And it sort of reminds me of those last few weeks and months with our friend Darryl Groves, who also passed away from cancer. And it is a thing you never want anyone to experience, of like that acceptance that you know they are not long for this world. And there were similar things that I think Darryl was saying as well, just like feeling like to not feel bad for me and very much like just I feel like I've done all I could with my time here.
It's a beautiful sentiment that I don't know that I would be able
to say those things and think those things without crying. But the fact that we do get those moments in really difficult and challenging times is, we try to take as much positive as possible. So, you appreciate the imprint that clearly he left on a lot of people. And you know, we all sort of deal with this in life where we lose people in this way. So hopefully hearing
his
things
words,
like that.
Yeah, maybe his words could leave an imprint on you if you didn't get a chance have it done.
RIP, obviously a very, very difficult time. So everybody, as always, thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate y'all. We'll see you again on Thursday. We got a very exciting episode on Thursday, by the way.
It's going to be a big one.
Big big old guest coming through.
Just going to say, it'll make you believe.
just a little bit. All right, we'll see you Thursday, everybody. Peace.
Love you guys.